Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
Because that's what confusion is what it's all about. Hey, we're on air. Oh, my God. We're
speaking
on-
of confusion. Who am
yeah,
I?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Like, what is this? This is the Indie Circuit, Radio St. Pete exclusive Indie Circuit. My name is Mal. With me, as always,
Promi.
And this is show, oh my God, 206, for those of you keeping track at
it's
home.
It's so charming the way you just hit record right in the middle of a conversation. And
yeah, I don't like, care. That's just wasted time.
That's one way to get us on track. Huh?
Wasted content. We're delving into the world of computers. I've decided to make the big jump to the cloud. Oh my God, Cloud Creative Suite.
Yeah, not to be confused with that other cloud, which is, you know, where unicorns and magic live.
Pegasi, as it were.
In the computer world.
Yeah, well, for the longest time, I was like, I'm going to fight the power. I'm going to get the last version of the Creative Suite, which is the Adobe, like, Photoshop and Illustrator and all that crap. And I was like, I'm going to fight the power. And then
CS6, which is like 5 years old now or 6 years old.
Yeah, you said, you're buying something that's about 10 years old and they're asking twice as much as what it costs. And I was like, huh, I think I'm getting played for a jump. I guess I'm going to pony up the $50 a month.
There is the whole you buy it once, you keep it until your computer, until it will no longer run on a current operating system. The unfortunate part about that is that at this point you're probably closer to the won't run on a current
clunky
operating
town
system
USA then. Yeah, and when I was reading the reading the stuff online about what am I buying, what am I paying for, it's always updated. It like there's a terabyte of storage and literally I can have all the artwork I do for I have a screen printing shop that I run on the side. All the artwork for that can be uploaded and also saved in an external, and who cares? You know,
honestly, most of the people who were actually pissed about the Creative Cloud thing were people who were already customers who had bought in and were getting their upgrade pricing instead of paying full price.
Right.
Because it's actually comparable to the upgrade pricing, what the actual pricing if you maintain the current version. But some people like to skip every other version. And the other thing, too, is this weird psychological thing where they felt like they had bought into this old system. And even though this new system was effectively going to be the same price, they were pissed that anybody could just jump on. Like, I paid $2,500 for my suite initially, so I deserve
more
to get this discounted price. Now, this any old Joe can just come in off the street and get the exact same pricing I'm getting without having to have bought all this software in the past to get. It's that weird thing where you're happy with what you got until somebody else
can
get it easily. Yes. And now you need something.
Well, I did like that. They were smart enough. I don't know if they learned this initially or if they found out the hard way that if you tell them you'll buy it for a year, it's $50. If you're one of those guys that's like, I have a couple things, I'll buy it for 1 month. It's $80.
Yeah.
Like it's quite like you could probably toggle on and off. Not for what I'm doing. I need to have it there. I need to have availability at any time that I'm doing, because I might get a job, go home that night, process the artwork, and have it on screens the next day. People need things out so quickly. But, it's one of those things where they might have started with no yearly. I don't know. Adobe's pretty... Like,
they started with both of them. And really, honestly, the month-to-month only makes sense for two categories. One is somebody that's not sure this is for them. You get a 30-day trial on all the software regardless, so that should be enough time. But the other group are people that need to scale up or down at weird times. If you're a production house and you get a new piece of work and you need to ramp up and bring in like six freelancers and you got to set up six new systems and they're not going to be there for a year, it doesn't make sense to pay for licenses for an annual.
Right.
At that point, it might not even make sense to license the whole suite. You might just pay for the three programs or four programs you need, and you may be paying $60 a month for those three programs because I think they're $20 a month a piece when you do them individually, which sounds more expensive than doing the whole thing for $50 a month for a year. But if you only need them for 3 months...
To be honest with you, and this might sound strange to people, the industry standard for screen printing is not Creative Suite.
It's Corel Draw.
Corel Draw, and I think it's because it's stripped down, it's easier and cheaper. You know,
and it runs on PC, and it's primarily a PC thing, which is one of the differences. For some reason, things like screen printing and vinyl cutting are not classified in the same category as
no.
They're not. I don't know why they're considered. They're. I guess because technically they kind of are close to manufacturing.
Yeah, they're manufacturing. They're mostly.
But I mean, the, like preparing files and stuff and everything like that. It's the same kind of people theoretically.
I can. Would be, yeah.
That would be doing creative spec work too. So it's kind of weird that there is such a distinction. But there. Yeah. But yeah, there
and
is.
It's notable. I mean, like, and I was like, well, I've spent 20 some years on Adobe. I ain't going back to anything else. Like, it makes sense for me. I can do obviously the same stuff. That's I'm so familiar. I'm not going to relearn something to do this.
Right.
You know? Like, there's no reason. I like the Creative Suite. I like Adobe a lot. I love their products. You know, I'm a real booster for Photoshop, Illustrator. Yeah, I am because it's to me it's the best. You know, but yeah. But I'm sure that's what crowd people say. Theirs is the best.
Wrong, but
I don't care.
So, no, I mean, if CorelDRAW was the best, it would be the industry standard. It would be the more expensive one, and it would be the one that creative professionals outside of of these particular niche markets use. And it's not. So
yeah,
I'm
excited to get back into it to the point that I'm going to learn this version.
Yeah,
because up to now I've only used 4.5, whatever it is, five. I think I had 5.5 at one point.
Yeah,
but that's. You know, a lot of places that are looking for graphic designers, you got to be that newest cutting edge. You have to have the cloud access.
That's the thing about Creative Cloud too, is because it's updated. It's like, well, you either use Creative Cloud or you use something that we don't have. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even Widget Factory is all Creative Cloud now.
Wow, can you imagine that?
All the widgeteers
in India.
Well, and here, well, what's
all
left?
all those Indians prior, that are doing their coupons
prior to the Indian widgeteers taking over things. Even all of the home office widgeteers were elevated to the cloud.
It's sad. See, I'm even past my severance. So I'm not going to say the name, but I don't care. I'm a little more loose about, you know, laughing at Indians making our coupons. Yeah, oh my God. Anyway, here's some music. Well, let's no more computer talk because that's for geeks and nerds, right?
And that's
everyone?
Our second show.
Yeah, exactly. That's in 40 minutes from now.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
We didn't crawl out from under no rocks. We didn't have no tails. We didn't come from monkeys, you atheistic pinko meathead.
His what?
His fascia, Dr. Evil.
His verger? What's a verger?
His fascia. You know, the fascia.
Yeah, gold member, I don't speak freaky deaky Dutch. Okay, perv boy?
Fascia, his dad. Dad is fascia.
Oh, his dad. Oh, his father.
Yes, I have a Dutch accent. Isn't that weird?
Hoppa, hoppa, hoppa! Come one, come all! See Evil Ten Evil, an exciting motion picture about the most fearless and fascinating performer of all time!
Yeah, a real nut.
Hoppa, hoppa, hoppa! See Evil Ten Evil, the story of a daredevil who wants to jump his motorcycle over the Grand Canyon!
It's a wonder he's still alive!
Hoppa, hoppa, hoppa! See Evil Ten Evil, last of the gladiators, ride his bike into the air and over the fountains at Caesar's Palace, Las Vegas!
You should only know what happened to him on the way down.
Evil Knievel, starring George Hamilton, Sue Lyon, and a great supporting cast.
Yeah, with lots of plaster.
Hoppa, hoppa, hoppa! See Evil Knievel, filmed in Metrocolor from the Fanfare Corporation, rated GP.
You're a lot of noise.
Go away, boy, you bother me.
right, sweethearts, what are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed? Another glorious day in the Corps. Day in the Marine Corps is like a day on the farm. Every meal is a banquet. Every paycheck a fortune. Every formation a parade. I love the Corps.
Ouch. Anyway, that was Satan's Pilgrims.
And from, they were sharp or hot or something because Mao just burnt and or cut himself.
Yeah, that cut of that song was so sharp it hurt me. I played for you Chestnut Trees and Bumble something. We're not going to answer that thing. Hold on. Oh my God, I should have done Bumblebees. Chestnut Trees and Bumblebees. Trancers.
Wait a minute, was that by Satan's Pilgrim?
Yeah. Tracers and Colors of My Mind. But it was spelled like from Canada, Colors of My Mind.
Well, that could be British, too.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, yeah. British-Canadian.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so yeah.
That area that they speak English in that's not America is what you're trying to say. Or the United States
Mexico.
Of America. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So, that's an interesting song title from Satan's Pilgrims.
Yep.
I have to say, their music is also interesting for a band named Satan's Pilgrims.
Yeah,
I like their music a lot, and I don't have, but I have a CD that I play frequently in my car that I never pay any attention to the titles of because I don't care really.
Who cares?
I don't. There's no lyrics, so I don't care what the
name
of the song is.
That's like knowing
are.
A Pink, like a Kitaro or a Pink Floyd song name. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, it's just this mush of sound, and you dig it, and you're like, oh, that's cool. What was that? And I was like, I don't know. I can
tell you the album.
Yeah.
I think it might have been track 7, but it could have also been 12. I don't know.
That's one of the things, and I
usually just hit the forward and backward until I get to the one that sounds the way I like it, and then that's, you know.
That's one of the things. There's a couple music genres, like a Hawaiian and surf. I love them, but like for half of an album. Like I won't flip the album, or if I flip it, I'll be like, then that's enough of that.
Because really, that's more like background music. That's like when you're doing something you really need to be intensely focused on and the music isn't going to pull you out of it,
Hawaiian.
You run a tiki bar,
Yes, and that's nonstop all the time.
Yeah.
And you want to put a gun in your mouth. But,
for that and other reasons.
Because I do really love this, a lot of surf music. And, of course, Satan's Pilgrims is a really cool band, but I was like, I listen to one CD and then I'm like, I'm good for, a little while, maybe a week and a half, whatever. Back to my hate music. So, speaking of hate, boy, I don't know. Do you have Netflix, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I liked Pootie Tang, and I liked it's an old movie.
I'm trying to
funny
think,
movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
So
you were that person.
And I used to like a lot of stand up comedy from Dave Chappelle. Have you watched his newest stand up comedy?
I have not.
Wow, he's a racist. He hates white people so bad. He hates them worse than Spike Lee. I had to turn it off. I was like, wow. And there's a point. Now, Carlin hit this where he wasn't funny anymore. He was just this insane, crotchety old man. But people were still like, oh, no, Carlin's funny. I was like, no, he's not. That's just, he's listening to an old lunatic. And then he died. But, Dave Chappelle used to be very funny, but I don't know what happened. He was just, this one was weirdly hate monger, hate speech. And it was just,
there's
I
a bunch
hate
of white people in the audience laughing at it.
And I was like, oh, wow, he hates white people so much. I'm like, why would I continue watching this? Because if it's racist, I couldn't stand up there and say that stuff about any other race. And I get it. I know we've been over that a little bit, but not to this level. There's a level where you're like, too far, dude. This literally is just the same as the Klan standing up in front of you. It's just, it's the other side. So who cares,
Well,
it's sad.
In that regard, interesting segue.
Uh-huh.
I saw the Black Panther recently.
I don't know if it's
Black Panther or Black Panther. It is a really good movie.
People love that movie. They're crazy with it,
The annoying thing about the night I was trying to go is, I have the movie pass, which I do not get any residuals from, so this is not a paid endorsement. But one of the
enter promo code PROME.
At checkout for a special deal.
They'll go what the hell is this?
But you got to buy the tickets at the box office because you can't go through Fandango or anything, and all these theaters are now, you got to reserve your seating and all this other crap.
I hate that.
Because even if you don't do that, then that means you got to pay an extra buck or $2 per ticket to do it through Fandango because you got to get the service fee. It's all a racket,
Yes, it is.
But so I had to buy the ticket there, and going by myself to see the movie is not a problem because you can walk in there
on opening night at the time the movie is starting, and you can usually find one good seat.
There's one.
There's somewhere around in the middle section where somebody didn't want to sit next to somebody else.
You'll be by two kids making out and some dude that's vaping. But
I've got a clear picture of the pit screen. I'm audibly in the right area for the surround sound. You know,
okay, whatever.
So, and considering, you know, I pay $10 a month for this to go to whatever movie, basically, I'm not going to be too picky.
Can't complain.
By myself.
It's still a movie, yeah.
But I show up and there's like 25 people in line. And I go to the theater over the Largo Mall one because it was easy. You know, it was easy to get to.
Yeah.
There's 20 people in line. I get there and I'm 10 minutes late for reasons, family reasons. I'll just leave it at that. I gotta go. No, well, okay, yeah, all right. I understand. Hey, did you notice a scratch on my car? Do you think I should get that? All right, I really gotta go, you know. So I got there 10 minutes late, and then I get there and I get parked and I get up there and there are 20 people, possibly more, in line. And there's one person up there, of course, because everybody buys their damn tickets online now because you gotta reserve your seats.
Yep.
And what I quickly discovered is every single person in line was there for the movie I was going to that technically, quote-unquote, started 10 minutes ago.
You're like, wait a minute, what happened?
And the interesting thing is that I quickly learned that most of these people don't go to movies because I heard the woman at the front giving them all the same spiel. And the guy's like, okay, I'll take seats C3, 4, or 5. No, sir, the gray ones are the ones you can't have. You know, like, I heard this again and again and again, and I'm thinking, you know, for as antsy as all these people seem in line, you think they'd be paying attention to what's going on up there, so when it's their turn,
nope,
they can
everyone,
do it.
Everyone is oblivious. That poor idiot does that 7,000 times a day.
And the funny part about it is that the couple right in front of me were complaining about how stupid all these other people are. Then we get up there. I mean, they were. We had a conversation about this, and then we get up there, and then they go to do it, and the girl tells them the price, and they're like, oh, we need to split the price. We need to buy. Actually, no. I'm gonna pay with one. And then he looks at her, and she's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna pay with one card, and she's gonna pay with." Like 2 minutes prior to that, he's complaining about how all these idiots are slowing things down, and they're gonna miss the movie because of all this stuff. And then they get up there, and then they start having this discussion about how they're gonna pay. And the girl's like, "Well, I can cancel this and go back out, but if you know, like," and they're like, "Well," and so. Meanwhile, I'm like, I see my seat. I'm behind you, but I know which one I want. Can I just...
You should have reached through and just went, boop, that's me, and then just handed the thing and be like, I'll be in that one.
But,
that's
so,
America to me.
Yeah.
Like, people are so oblivious. They complain, and they whine, and they cry, and then they just do the same thing. Like,
yeah.
No one has any regard for anything other than them. And that's, I mean, maybe that's the world. I see it as, like, a problem of America. Just, my God. You know, yeah.
The punchline, though, is that the movie had a starting time of 7:40. I got there at 7:50. By the time I got through the line, it was 8:06.
You could have had some popcorn.
Well,
and
I got into the theater. They still had a trailer, the Coca-Cola thing, and the please silence your cell phones to go before the movie started.
Oh, no.
So, like, 30 minutes of trailers. Like, I remember when it used to be 15, which is why I was nervous, because I'm thinking, like, okay, this is a big movie. They probably front-loaded it with a lot of trailers, so maybe 20 minutes.
Maybe. No, not
30
anymore,
minutes,
man.
30
now
minutes.
It's crazy. Star Wars was crazy. It was so many.
Yeah.
And you don't mind them because you're just like, okay, well, whatever. I'm here for the duration anyway. It doesn't
and some
matter.
Of them are things like, some of the stuff you're into. Of course, the trailer I show up for is a basketball movie, like a basketball comedy that's basically based off of
Medina
the
does basketball?
No, worse than that. Do you remember the Pepsi commercial from like a decade ago where the one, I don't even remember who it was, there was an all-star basketball player. They put him in makeup to look like an old guy, and it's like, you know, they send him out onto the streets,
oh,
and he's
Shaq.
Playing with these young guys. No, it wasn't Shaq, because Shaq's actually in this movie, too.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, though, because he's like,
they put him in
kids.
They put him in sweatpants and grandpa gear, and they're making a movie.
Dirty Pepsi
now.
Grandpa.
And it's like him, and Shaq is in it as well, and it's all these old farts that are going to compete against young people. And I'm like, of all, this is the one I get, you know? I suppose I should have been happy at that point to realize I wasn't missing the opening scene of the movie.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But I walk in and I'm like, of all the ones they saved for the end, it had to be this one, right?
Yeah.
And somebody else is like, oh yeah, they had this extended trailer thing for the Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then there was this other one, and then there's the Infinity War coming out. I'm like, yeah, didn't see any of those. I saw the bobblehead basketball player old guy one.
You know, I have all those. When my mom recently moved to Alaska, did I say this last week? I raided her DVD drawer because she has all those on Blu-ray. Like, Avengers and Ant-Man and like and
your mom, huh?
And all the Thor and all that. I've never seen any of those. I kind of watched one or two of them. I was like, and I'm like, why? First of all, but then secondly, I was like, well, I'm gonna take these because I might as well watch them. You know, was it good?
Yes, it was very good.
See, everyone loved.
However, I will say that there. It's funny because.
Does Dave Chappelle come out and hate white people in the front of it?
No, no. There are a number of white people digs that are in it that at first was kind of like, ooh, I'm a white guy with thin skin. This bugs me. But, you know, but they were crowd pleasers in the audience. Yeah. Obviously, you're bringing in a different demographic with this movie. Right. And it's interesting because they are definitely gearing this towards a specific demographic.
See, that's what Spawn was supposed to be.
Yeah, but Spawn wasn't a good movie.
Spawn was terrible.
But and this one missed, was, you know, yeah. And the thing is that it. I will say that in that end, nothing about this came across as pandering, you know.
And that's what
this
you
was
mean.
Not. This was not a blaxploitation film. Yeah. This was the way, and I think that's one of the reasons why they're getting so much praise for this aspect of it. Is it feels natural. It feels like middle-aged white dude should like to go to a movie like this, and it shouldn't be a big deal, you know.
And that's fine.
And that's exactly how it plays. Yeah. But they do make a couple digs. Like there's one point where someone says, "Oh, don't sneak up on me like that, colonizer."
Yeah.
But they're minor things. But you know, I've gotten to thinking about this, and as privileged white folk,
yeah, privileged.
I'll say, well, not. I mean, the deal is that you know we have a long history of making fun of other races and getting away with it. And
not,
I don't mean
not
you
us,
do.
Though.
I don't mean yeah. you do and I do. But I mean,
so I'm picking up the check for every idiot before me, huh?
But old Warner Brothers cartoons, you know, it was fine for Bugs Bunny to pretend to be Asian or them to have a character in blackface, you know, like for a long time. And there's a lot of other cultures that have just had to suck it up, you know. And it's fine to see white people not understand why that's kind of offensive or kind of bugging. So, because I've heard of some people complaining about some of the digs they make, which are minor digs, really.
And who cares? I don't mind.
And to me, it's kind of like, you know, as a white dude who doesn't normally have to deal with this, I can live with this. This is fine. Everybody else likes it. And hey, I watched inappropriate cartoons as a kid that I didn't know were wrong. I can accept that. You know, like, whatever. It's not going to change my world. It's not Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about it. I don't have thin skin. I watch blaxploitation all the time from my movie show, and I was like, ooh, too far, dude. Yeah. This is too far.
I didn't mean I had thin skin for real, but...
I know.
But, I mean, but yeah, great movie. Great movie.
I'll have to make sure I check it out.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. Nobody!
All my tears are in vain. I just lost my man. But in spite of all the wrong is done, I just cry on, I just cry.
You know you took my heart and you broke it apart. Why did I love, baby? Never have to start. You know you took my love, threw it away. You gonna want my love someday. Well, bye bye, baby. Well, I thought your love
had the most incredibly romantic time. I thought we were going to be together forever, and then about a week later, right out of the blue, she sends me a John Deere letter.
Edgar Allan Poe wrote Spirits of the Dead with a pen dipped in warm blood. You will see the ultimate in terror with this important all-star cast. Brigitte Bardot, Alain Delon, Jane Fonda, Terence Stamp, and Peter Fonda in Edgar Allan Poe's Spirits of the Dead. Only Poe's demented genius could bring to the screen such horror and evil. Spirits of the Dead stars Brigitte Bardot, Alain Delon, Jane Fonda, Terence Stamp, and Peter Fonda. Directed by three masters of the cinema, Federico Fellini, Louis Malle, and Roger Vadim. Spirits of the Dead is an adventure in terror beyond your wildest nightmares. Spirits of the Dead in color is rated R.
Grandma, you didn't pay your taxes?
I would have, but I didn't have any money.
I'm the boss of the hot sauce.
try. Dance with me now, don't you ask me why. I can't wait till you're in my arms. Dance all around, feel all of your charms. Won't you dance with me, yeah.
It's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
All right, we are back. That was, of course, the Detroit Cobras. I played Stupidity, Bye Bye Baby, Boss with the Hot Sauce, and Won't You Dance with Me.
Yeah.
They are good stuff. I have those on vinyl, and I ripped them. But no, actually, I think I got download codes. But I love them. So, yeah, what else we got going on?
One last thing I want to say about Black Panther, and then I will stop talking about it.
Okay.
The one criticism that a lot of people have had...
Enter promo code PROMI.
One of the criticisms a lot of people have had about a lot of the Marvel and comic book movies in general is how throwaway the bad guys are.
Yeah.
How they're, you know, it's a character you've got to develop story-wise somehow in the first half of the movie, but then get rid of by the end of the movie. So, while not overshadowing the character arches of the main... protagonist, which is hard. How do you make this character matter, then kill him, and then next movie there's going to be a new one.
Yeah.
They did a really good job of who the primary villain is this one. They did a really good job of developing his motivation.
Ah, cool.
And you know, like, even though you don't like what he's trying to do, you can
understand. Like the first Guardians of the Galaxy, I thought that bad guy was a joke, and then the second one was awesome.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell playing Ego, and you know, you're like, that was really cool, you know.
Yeah. And it's like the more you think about that one, it's like, you know, from his own vantage point, he wasn't a bad guy, because, you know, he talks about giving like the mom cancer, and it's like, well, because to him, you know, human life is disposable.
Yeah, sure. He's
been around for millions of years, so somebody who's only going to live maybe 80 to begin with, cutting 40 of those off, what's the difference, you know?
So I wanted to have. I had one question for you. I was watching. No one's whipped up into Olympic fever. It's the winter. It's the Winter Olympics, and I could care less. And I don't have TV anymore, so I don't care. But the I was at the gym and I'm watching, and it's the curling where they throw the big heavy rock.
Oh, yes.
And people with brooms. I started thinking. I was like, you know, I bet you someone was up at night. They didn't get a good night's sleep because they knew. They were going up against the best person with the broom on the right side that this world's ever had. And they were just number two their whole life. And I thought to myself, that's the most wasted life that this world has ever seen.
I could be wrong, but I think that was a sport invented in Canada. Yeah, and probably. If it was, that explains a lot, because for a big percentage of the year, they don't have a lot to do besides drink up there. So,
can you imagine being the number two right broom person, and then you miss one stroke, and they... That coach reams you out. What were you thinking?
I know.
You only did a half of a broom when you could have done a full broom, and we would have won the gold this year, man.
I mean, doesn't that seem like a sport that was invented by drunk guys?
Oh, and
like,
it was somebody with an iron.
They had like a kettle full of water that froze.
A beer. And if you got in a circle,
and
you drank.
It froze outside, and it's like, okay, so we got this frozen over lake. We've got some brooms.
and I was gonna make some tea, but no, this kettle's frozen solid.
I froze this beer. If you get that beer in the middle of the circle, you can drink this kettle of beer once it thaws. Yeah. And then that was the town crier brought everyone into town.
That seems like a plausible. I'm gonna have to do some research on this now, but that seems like a plausible way that particular sport might have been invented, because nothing about that makes sense. That or some Canadians got stuck in a hardware/grocery store in a blizzard, and that's all they could come up with. I don't know.
Sad, really. That's all I can say.
Here's Johnny.
Bear mauling. Now that we were off air, we were talking about the one where the biathlons, where they ski and then they shoot things, and then they
cross country ski and then shoot crap. And I was saying how much more entertaining that would be if there was like a bear chasing them.
That would be.
That's another sport that feels like it was invented in probably not. That's probably
Germany.
I was gonna say like Utah or South Dakota, because the gun part of it makes it sound more American.
No, I think it's German or Switzerland,
because
they're like, yeah, we are so proficient, and then they would ski really fast, and then they shoot, you know, and that's because I don't know anything about it, but then I was watching again. You're sitting on the treadmill going nowhere, so you're just like, okay,
about useless sports.
Exactly. I guess I'll watch this. And now that my curling career is over because of this knee injury, and I'm watching this, and this
carpal tunnel.
This guy's skiing. He comes skiing up, and he pulls out a gold gun. And he missed two of the four, and I'm like, well, you don't give me that gun. Give him a brown gun for poo, because he missed those shots. I was like, whatever. If they strapped meat on the back of their packs and had bears running around, now that is a...
That would be an awesome Olympic sport.
I would tune in, or if, like, out of nowhere... They just had,
and there'd
like,
be handlers. There'd be guys with
trank guns.
Yeah.
If they got two killed, hey, if you want the gold...
Yeah.
Or shoot the bear. If you shoot the bear or those targets, you're going to win.
Well,
that's poor bear. I think...
Like, how many people can we offend in one episode today?
I think out of nowhere, like, in the Olympics... Like a professional wrestler just come out and chair shot somebody. Like you'd be like, oh, I'm gonna get this gold medal, and then like, and they're coming around the skating, and then Stone Cold just comes out and chair shot somebody. And they're like, yeah, and he just starts spraying beer on them. That would be that. I'd watch that Olympics probably. I think, or if the Undertaker would just choke slam somebody for no reason,
or they could bring a monster truck into it, like they're doing the half pipe thing with the ice thing, and suddenly just Gravedigger,
and he's chasing
comes up over the hill,
and he's chasing it down the hill in the half pipe, and it's doing the same stunts.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh my god, I gotta get my half pipes going faster because there's this Gravedigger's coming to kill
me. We're basically describing redneck Olympics here. If they ever come back to the U.S. and they end up in like Virginia. That's what we'll have. That's what we'll do.
No, and remember Idiocracy?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What President Nacho Cheese. That's what that's what he'll do. He'll have that kind. All right, let's put on some music quick.
Laugh it up, fuzzball. Life a slog, where the landlords are bugging.
Jack. Oh yeah, oh no, brother, that won't do. Oh yeah, oh well, welcome to my hell.
Lady luck, when you roll your eyes and check. Best pizza in a cup ever. This guy's unbelievable. He ran the old cup of pizza guy out of business. Really? People come from all over to get this. All
right, that was, of course, the Go-Getters. I played Welcome to My Hell, Baby Love, Blitzkrieg Bop.
Welcome to My Hell. That doesn't sound like a Go-Getter title.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like a Satan's Pilgrims title.
It does.
Come on, guys. You should switch me swap.
Just swap names.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure Go-Getters would really qualify, would really fit Satan's Pilgrims music either. But
yeah, so there's a local Toys R Us. We only have a couple of seconds left, like 30 seconds left. But I remember I was out buying games for some reason.
Well, they're going out of business. That one's closing. So
that one's closing. But I saw they had like this interactive remote control Mario Kart thing.
My son, well,
and you can make it like Bowser's Castle because it's an AI. It has.
Oh,
like,
you're talking about the Hot Wheels one.
Oh my God, I want this, but it's $200. I was like,
no, that's when you buy the whole set. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, well, thanks for listening this week. I hope you stay tuned. If you're downloading this, there you can go and check out Saki Bamagogo. That's our second show, which we're starting now.